You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
You know, I've seen a lot of developer advocates within companies really kind of start to look internally. One who has kind of walked in those shoes of a developer is certainly going to have the best foot forward.
Welcome to Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at DevOps Institute. Our podcast title today is Cloud Native Observability Developer Happiness, Yes You Can, or Oh My. If that sounds a little bit like the Dorothy at Kansas, it is for a reason, because I have with me a gentleman who has incredible knowledge across many, many topics, and I wanted to talk to him about everything, but I know we only have about 20, 25 minutes. So today we have with us Adam Frank. He's a Senior Vice President, Product and Marketing at Armory. Hello, Adam.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, excited. Like I said, I'm very excited. So before we get started, I wanted to share with the audience a little bit on your background. Sure. So Adam is passionate about all things product and design. He creates, influences, and greatly improves end-to-end, or E2E, I just heard somebody say that, experiences. He is helping Armory expand and grow by building top-shelf product marketing and design teams that deliver a simple message with a simple experience. He has over 15 years of product and development experience, specializing in building products and strategies for complex problems that enable digital transformations and organizational change to ensure growth and scale for businesses of the world. Now, Adam is also a DevOps Institute ambassador, and I believe you are still advisor for financial services and technology as part of emissary.io. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Well, welcome again, and thank you for having the time, or taking the time on your end. I know you are very, very busy, so I really appreciate it, and I know our listeners are appreciating it as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That's quite the intro there as well.
Yes, of course. And I'm actually surprised, you know, I am an ambassador, of course, as well, but I'm also chief research officer. We haven't really met in person. So congratulations on being an ambassador, and thank you for all of your work.
Thank you.
Hopefully we get to meet in person at some point, because now we can. We will see. The first thing really, what does it take of being an ambassador, and how has that helped you? That's kind of a little bit of a, want to get a little bit more insight on what ambassadors do to our audience. Tell us a little bit about your role.
Sure. So like you said, back in 2020 is really where I was introduced to the DevOps Institute. Helen Beal was the first person that I interacted with, and she is absolutely lovely. She is full of energy, and she really advocates for the community. So her energy just kind of spilled onto me to advocate for the community as well. So it's really about sharing the knowledge, sharing the experiences. The number of courses that the DevOps Institute has been coming out with lately, and being able to consult on those courses, provide inputs, ideas, even write some of the courses, the modules, the chapters, whatever they may be, and really collaborate with that community to produce something that will hopefully help other members that are very interested in the topic or trying to learn. I think that's the impetus of all of this, is that really sharing knowledge to help others learn and grow within the vast, vast community that we have in and around DevOps and IT in general. So it's fantastic to be an ambassador. I very much enjoyed it. And it's really helped me both from a networking point of view and understand other people's perspectives, but also help understand other problems and things that people are facing as well, to come up with and kind of ideate around solutions to those problems, along with keeping up with trends and things of that nature. It's been a wonderful ride so far.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that. And yes, shout out to Helen. She is absolutely wonderful. She has that that Nick for getting people connected and excited. I love working with her, so shout out to her. Super, thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. In terms of a topic I really want to first address, it's one I have also researched and studied. So you've been focusing and doing some work around observability for a while. Why do you think observability is such a hot topic today?
I think we could probably sum it up in four or five words, and that would be customer experience and product-led growth. Bring that down to five letters, UX and PLG. I think with the complexity and scale of infrastructure and application in today's day and age, and the reach from globalization, it's that coupled with the speed of innovation that we are seeing, one really needs to understand what that customer experience is. What is that customer experiencing with the end-to-end solution that you are providing as a software provider, as a product service? So being able to not only understand the systems and how they are interacting and behaving, but what that customer is feeling, what that customer is doing, that's going to really enable you to make informed decisions, to iterate quickly, to increase your uptime. The way that we really look at the world is agility, stability, and security are going to provide the best customer experience out there. But in order to provide the agility, you need to know where you're pivoting, what you're iterating on, and being able to do that quickly. In order to provide the stability, you need to understand the systems and the application and how they're all interacting to make sure that it is up and available and ready to go for that customer, wherever they may be. And of course, security. Security is top of mind always, but there's also the other side of it, and that's the cost savings. So being able to see different areas of the application that can be tuned, the infrastructure that can be tuned to also bring cost savings forward is going to be very, very beneficial for any product and any company that is delivering these services.
So it's really a balancing effort and an outside-in perspective, right? As you said, from a customer experience perspective, we're rolling out, we're coming in from that perspective, making sure we have the velocity, we have the stability, and we have the security, because right, that's essential. But at the same time, we know budgets aren't that big this year. According mm-hmm. to Gartner, mm-hmm. I think there's a 5.3% rising in IT budgets. So that's not a lot in terms of spending. So having that balance is where observability fits right in. That's great. I love that. That could be actually a nice graphic. All right. Now, of course, this has to do with the digital pace, right? The pace of the transformation, no matter if it is in healthcare, in industries, verticals, governments, whatever they are. We see that pace continues as CEOs have that on their sleeve as a strategic initiative continuing, particularly after the pandemic. And that causes, but while we have a pace of fast and agile and stable and secure, there's also a significant challenge around the technical debt that creates. We also have skill gaps and we have not enough talents. And that makes everything a little bit more complicated. But really what I want to get to is the technology stack is, as you mentioned, I think you said that, is becoming more and more complex, and it's becoming more and more complicated. And I'm assuming you're seeing that with your clients. So when I step back and think about our folks in the listening mode, maybe we have some leaders, and of course we have individual contributors who need to rethink their technology stack. How should they, so this is a two-part question. First, how should they rethink their tech stack today? Where and what can they do to consolidate the tech stack? What are your thoughts on that?
Great, great question. Yes, every day. We deal with this every day, both as a company ourselves and with our customers. We see this every day. The pace of change is the fastest that it's ever been, and it is not slowing down. We don't see it slowing down at any time soon. So yes, every day. I think some of the first things that leaders can start to do is really staying close to the trends and the best practices that are out there. But one also needs to not just make a decision because it's the new shiny object, it's the new shiny toy, but is there any return on investment with updating their tech stack? You know, they get to think 5 years, 10 years out down the road, but also in that short term. And is there actually going to be return in doing this? Not everything needs to be promoted to a cloud native piece of software. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things just can't the way that they were written. You know, I talked to a customer not too long ago, and they're, you know, 42-year-old software company with millions of lines of code supporting over 20 different languages at this point. And by the time that they rewrote this, it would be 42 years in the future, and they would just have to rewrite it all again. So it doesn't necessarily make sense to replace everything within the tech stack. Mm-hmm. I had a great conversation with Kelsey Hightower a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he and I both firmly believe that Kubernetes is here. Kubernetes is certainly here for a while. And you know, with that and the promise of cloud native is always been cheaper, faster, more stable. So I think one thing that leaders can definitely do is embrace the declarative nature of Kubernetes and future-oriented solutions that are really embracing the declarative nature. Now, that's also offering simple experiences for people, but when it comes down to it, really careful planning, not overanalyzing, and making informed decisions quickly to be able to fail fast on which aspects of your tech stack you are replacing. Don't try and do it all at once. Nobody ever wants to do that. Just target specific areas. And that portion, start with that portion that really enables you to move quicker. You know, we definitely advocate when people are looking at different parts of their tech stack, what's your CI/CD pipeline looking like? You know, what's that process look like? Can that be one of the first things that you target that will then enable you to move much quicker with the rest of your stack? And of course, don't force anything down on your developers. Make sure that they are part of the process. They are making part of the decisions with you, because they are going to be the ones that are going to have to benefit and use all of this at the end of the day.
That gets me to my next question. Great. What is it called? A hook into my next question. Developer experience. We have heard about this, and I have to admit, Adam, I am an infrastructure and operations, I wouldn't say geek, because I'm kind of a geezer, I guess that's the way to say it. But I started out in INO, and developers to me were always kind of a strange animal. This is like 1994, that dates me, right? But anyway, just a little bit on that end, but that's not why we're here. I wanted to ask you, we hear a lot about developer experience, keeping developers happy. And as I said, I'm an INO myself, but I also covered developer and infrastructure operations as an analyst. We have made really great progress with DevOps and SRE and many other best practices, and developers, we know they don't want to do operations. So how do we keep these developers happy? You already mentioned some ideas there relative to CI/CD. We'll get there in a little bit later, but what are some things our folks can do, even if they're developers, keep themselves happy, right? And others, to keep the developers happy.
Yeah, I think in two words, empowerment and transparency, with more emphasis on the empowerment side of things. Developers really want to focus, they want to create, they want to innovate. They want to solve complex problems, and they want to see the benefits that those complex problems, the solutions to those complex problems are providing for their users. So they need a platform, they need a tool base that's going to really provide them the confidence and make their lives easier. They don't want to be, you know, stuck in those loops of maintaining different pieces of infrastructure or figuring out how to get their software delivered to production, you know, why things are failing, all that kind of stuff. So they're going to be happiest when they're coding, when they're solving complex problems, when their code is being shipped out to production in a nice, easy, and simple fashion that they can fully control with that transparency that I had mentioned. Ops also wants to focus, create, and innovate, but ops also has to enable and obfuscate the complexities that come along with some of this. And really instrument for visibility and stability. I mean, coupling all of that together and having close relationships with developers, that's really you start to really start to see things and the velocity take off. You really start to see things come to fruition and make the lives of developers much happier. Some of the things that I've seen people do to really bring this together is start a dedicated UX program, a dedicated developer experience, DX program within their company, that has a very strong emphasis on improving that developer experience. So they're evaluating tools, they're evaluating processes, they're including the developers in all of the decisions, all of the evaluation, so they can all make informed decisions together and really drive that experience to where they want it to be. And at the end, when you do have happy developers, you're gonna have higher retention, your velocity is gonna be higher, your time to market, all that kind of great stuff. So it's a really, really great area to focus and improve on within your company.
SkillUp Days and SkillUp Hours are the perfect way to stay on top of the latest DevOps trends and improve your skills from the comfort of your own home or office. Our virtual micro-conferences and webinars focus on DevOps and the tech industry and feature expert speakers from both the DevOps world and top IT companies. At our SkillUp Days, you will get everything you'd expect at a traditional conference, including virtual sponsored booths, competitions, and networking opportunities with other attendees and speakers. Don't miss out. Check out our lineup of upcoming events on devopsinstitute.com and register now.
A little side turn down the Dorothy's path. You said developer experience program. So what kind of skills does somebody like that need to have?
You know, I've seen a lot of developer advocates within companies really kind of start to look internally to bring these programs to date. They definitely need the skills to understand the life in a day of a developer, what a developer is experiencing. They definitely need the tools to understand or the experiences to understand what some of these tools are, what some of these processes look like. Having somebody come in off the street without any development experience whatsoever, it would be a very tough job for them to improve that developer experience. So one who has kind of walked in those shoes of a developer is certainly going to have the best foot forward.
Great idea. I'm actually going to add that to my upskilling report as a potential idea in the area of it's not really in process, it's not really in tech, it's not really in tools, it's kind of all over, right? Excellent idea. Love that. Skill building, that's the next topic I want to explore with you. So we talked a little bit about it already, but I'm a little biased, maybe because of where I come from, but I won't tell you which bias I have until you answer the question. So what do you think is the most is the must-have skill building category? Is it around people or humans? Is it around technology? Is it around best practice models and frameworks? Is it leadership, or is there anything else?
Yeah, I mean, given the title of this podcast, I can probably guess where you lean in this. and if my guess is correct, I would lean the same way. I think a good mix is always a sound strategy. You'll always need a level of leadership that can believe in what you're doing. They can inspire others and they can downright execute against your strategy and your plan. But the right people can learn tech. So I always believe that starting with the humans, starting with the people, and the rest kind of comes together. You know, when you have people that have a willingness to learn, have the ability to foster great relationships with people, collaboration, communication, all that kind of good stuff. A lot of that stuff is a lot more difficult to teach in people than the actual tech is, and the best practices. The best practices will come from learning what the new tech is and having those people that are very capable and very willing. So I always believe starting with people is the right choice.
You know, music to my ears, but you will be surprised, as I have been for the last 5 years in doing this research, that organizations, particularly IT teams, are hiring for technology skills. That's to me, right? Maybe it's a muscle they have trained for many, many years, where they think that they need to bring and hire for technology skills. to me, I sometimes shake my head, because absolutely, I agree with you. It has to be around the humans and the empathy and the collaboration and the problem solving and the communication, because without that, it makes it very difficult. But as I said, in the research, that's not what it's saying. And I've been beating the drums on that. And maybe this is the year where we can maybe make a little bit more, an inroad on that. Anyway, I have another two-part question. This is now into, of course, your favorite topic of continuous integration versus continuous deployment. Give us your thoughts on these two very important topics and relative to each other. I hear sometimes there are folks talking it interchangeably. And I remember, having conversations with, is it the same? It's not the same. It's different. And here is why. So what are your thoughts on those things? And then I have another part, but I'll hold that until we're done with that.
Excellent. Definitely not the same thing. However, hand in hand, it's very, very difficult to have one without the other, almost impossible. Continuous integration and continuous deployment, they're like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, these two were just absolutely made for each other, a match that is like no other, but they are very, very different. Continuous integration is really about producing the highest quality artifact as quickly as you can. Continuous deployment is about getting that artifact out to production and to your users as safely and as soundly as possible. So two very different things. However, they do work hand in hand. When we look at continuous integration, this is really where most people start and has typically been around a little bit longer, taking in a lot of the build and test automation to produce that artifact. And I think it's really only been the last couple of years that continuous deployment is starting to catch on more and more, giving people that competitive advantage to iterate quickly, to understand their users more, accelerate their time to market, all of that kind of really great stuff. So that's absolutely needed. And to have a sound strategy back to the agility, the stability, and the security, that's really where continuous deployment comes in, giving you the ability to get that code out to your users quickly, but to be able to do it safely and soundly so you can control the blast radius. Look at 5% of your user base. You can start to shift traffic between different users, but ultimately getting that code out there and really empowering, back to empowering and making developers have a great experience, empowering them to deploy on commit and having that confidence to be able to do that and having that transparency to watch that code go through dev, through staging, onto production.
Wow. Just something on the side, for those who don't know peanut butter and jelly, for us Europeans, it is red wine and chocolate.
Perfect, even better.
Right, just FYI. But so Armory provides products and solutions in that space. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have to offer in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. So we specialize in continuous deployment. And in particular, we have a declarative model for deploying out to Kubernetes. And in fact, we were the first and still the only that I'm aware of that has a declarative model that actually orchestrates that deployment across all of your Kubernetes clusters and environments, no matter how many you have. It's really at any scale. So, hooking up to continuous integration like GitHub, using GitHub Actions, so empower developers to be able to deploy on commit and orchestrate that deployment throughout dev tests. We integrate with things like security scanning, we integrate with logging solutions, observability solutions to be able to run automated canary analysis. So you understand, is this change affecting my user base? How is it affecting my user base? Is it close to the baseline? Baseline is the same. All that kind of really good stuff to really help our customers accelerate their time to market, move quicker, have that agility that they need, understand their users and their user base and iterate quickly, but do it in a nice, safe, sound, and reliable way.
Wow, great. You are really wicked smart about all these topics. I love it. This is great. We could continue, but I have been looking at the clock, and it's amazing how quickly 25 minutes pass. So I have a closing question, has nothing to do with CI/CD or maybe a little bit with peanut butter and jelly or red wine and chocolate, but what do you do for fun if you don't do what you do at your teams as an ambassador or otherwise? What do you do for fun, Adam?
Yeah, certainly closer to the red wine and jelly. Having grown up in Canada, you really need to do something throughout the winter months. So since it is, you know, the very beginning of March, the sun is starting to shine, but there's still snow on the ground here. I very much enjoy snowboarding. I've you know, played hockey for a lot of my life and playing sports, but most importantly, I have a beautiful daughter who is almost a year and a half and a fantastic wife and partner. So I very much enjoy spending a lot of my time with them, and just watching her grow right now is one of the funnest things that that I could possibly do with my day.
Oh, fantastic. That is fantastic. Embrace it, because they grow up fast. I have two daughters myself, and they are 25 and 27. And oh, well, I love them, but they're their own. This has been fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for talking to us and sharing your wealth of knowledge, your excitement, and your, I can hear the passion, and I could hear the little accent there. There is another thing we have in common. I used to live in Colorado. I love to ski, and I have an accent because I'm from Germany. Adam, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Been a pleasure.
We have been talking to Adam Frank, Senior Vice President, Product and Marketing at Armory. Adam, again, wonderful. Enjoy, hopefully, the upcoming weekend soon. Have some fun with your daughter. And here is, again, Humans of DevOps podcast is produced by DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Julia Pape and Brendan Lay. I am Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer, Evelyn Ehrlich. If you would like to join us on the podcast, please contact us at humansofdevopspodcast@devopsinstitute.com. I cannot imagine a longer email address than that. Anyway, I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.